بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. باب ما جاء في نعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So again, this is a subtype of clothing, and this the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's shoe was actually a leather sole, a single leather sole which had two straps. Single leather sole which had two straps. And the first hadith in this particular chapter is on Qatada, قال كنت لأنس بن مالك. So Qatada asks Anas ibn Malik. And of course, Anas ibn Malik is a servant of the Prophet ﷺ. He served the Prophet ﷺ for 10 years as his personal servant, so he has a good idea of exactly what the habits of the Prophet ﷺ were. كيف كان نعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم? How were the shoes of the Prophet ﷺ? قال لهما قبالان. That they had two straps. So the shoes of the Prophet ﷺ actually had two straps. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما كان لنعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قبالا مثنى شراكهما. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the shoes of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had two straps, and each of the two straps were made from two independent strips which were sewn together. The shoe of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was a leather sole with two straps, and each of those straps independently had two strips which were sewn together. Now this hadith is a lot of fun because one of the narrators in the hadith has a special name. One of the narrators in this hadith, and it comes in the chain, An Khalid al-Hazza. This is the name of this particular narrator, Khalid al-Hazza. Now Hazza is a person who is a shoemaker. Right? The word Hazza means somebody who makes shoes. But what's ironic, according to the ulama, when they explicate this hadith, is that Khalid didn't have anything to do with making shoes. Okay, he wasn't a shoemaker. But he got the name shoemaker because he used to hang around shoemakers. He had a friend who was a shoemaker, so he got the name shoemaker as well. But what this particular hadith highlights is that the status of your companions play an enormous role upon you, or have an enormous impact upon you. That's one of the things that you can take home from this particular concept. Now, what do I mean? Who you hang around with is going to judge how you're going to turn out. If you hang around with people who put an emphasis on reading the Quran, you will become someone who regularly reads the Quran. If you hang around people who smoke, and you know smoking is bad, you will become a smoker. That's just how it works. There is this status in the heart that transfers in this a deep type of way. Let me give you the best example. If you hung around the Prophet, you became a Sahaba. What better example is there than that? What's the definition of a Sahaba? How do you define a Sahaba? Sahaba is defined as that person, according to the Muhaddithin, that person who saw the Prophet in a state of Iman. He hung around the Prophet for a moment, or she hung around the Prophet for a moment, that person gets the ranking of a Sahaba in this tradition. Who you hang around with determines what you become. So we have to make a very, very sincere effort to look at who we keep as our company. When you keep righteous people as your company, that assists you in becoming righteous. When you keep people who look at, who make their decisions in their life according to what the pleasure of Allah is, that will begin to influence your decisions. And if you choose company that is not like that, then you will slowly deteriorate. So choosing of the company is so essential in this deen. I mean, think about it. The Sahaba becomes Sahaba only because the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, we don't call them the muhaddithin, right? Yet they are the transmitters of every hadith. We don't call them the mufassirin, yet they are the explicators of the Quran. We don't call them the mujahideen, yet they were the greatest warriors in the history of this tradition. We call them the Sahaba. That's their most honorable title. Sahaba, Sohba, companionship of who? Prophet ﷺ. That's the essence. Find the people who are walking on the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ and stick to them, and that will become your companionship. Through them, through their chain, the Prophet ﷺ himself. That's the secret. That's the secret of changing your life. There's only so much you can do on your own, but that's the barakah. That's where the barakah is. The other beautiful aspect of this hadith is that this shoemaker hung around the muhaddith. Right? So the shoemaker hung around the muhaddith, and what's the result? Permanently, till the day of judgment, his name comes in this hadith. Because the idea, his remembrance, his recollection, the fact that this muhaddith hung around with him is permanently embedded in this hadith because he chose the companion of a scholar. That's the essence. That's the secret. And that's what we have to work towards. So much of your deen is based on companionship. Who you hang around with. Who you keep as your company. And that, we have to really, really understand this point. Because so many secrets lie within it. حدثنا عيسى ابن طحمان قال أخرج إلينا أنس بن مالك نعلين زرداوين لهما كبالان. So this particular narrator says that Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنهما brought before the people two shoes, and these shoes had two straps. قال فحدثني ثابت. Then ثابت said, told the narrator, بعض أن حدثني ثابت عن أنس أنهما. ثابت said later, at a later time, from Anas, narrating from Anas, أنهما كانتا نعلي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. That the two shoes that were actually presented before this group of people, they were actually the shoes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, a couple things about this hadith. First is that these are jardawan, bare, without hair. So the shoes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were made from such a leather that there was no hair on them. And this is contrary to what most of the people of the Arabian Peninsula did at that time. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a special thing with his shoes, is that he chose leather that didn't have hair on it when he had his shoes made. The other thing that's highlighted in this hadith is the benefit of being the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Anas was able to keep the shoes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's just an incredible barakah. So his service, one of the results of his service, along with the four du'as that we talked in, the du'a that the Prophet sallallahu made for him, and the fact that three of those came true and he was hoping for the fourth, was that he had in his possession the shoes of the Prophet ﷺ. And I mean, you know, we think of shoes as something dirty, as something that should be thrown away, but even the shoes of the Prophet ﷺ have touched the skin of the Prophet ﷺ, and they then take on a new value. And Anas was proud to display those in front of the Sahaba and say, look, shoes that you consider dirty, these are the shoes of my Prophet ﷺ. So this is just another aspect of this hadith, which, you know, subhanAllah. عن أبيد ابن جريج أنه قال لابن عمر. So this particular narrator says to Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما رأيتك تلبس نعال السبتية. So this particular narrator says to Ibn Umar that verily I have seen you wearing shoes without hair. Everybody wears shoes with hair. How come you're the only one that wears shoes without hair? إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَلْبِسُهُ النِّعَالِ أَلَّتِي لَيْسَ فِيهَا الشَّعْرِ. His response, because verily I've seen the Prophet ﷺ, and he used to wear shoes without hair. وَيَتَوَدَّأُ فِيهَا. And he used to do wudu while wearing those shoes. Meaning he used to, because those shoes were open, the Prophet ﷺ could just stick his foot underneath, or stick his foot in the water, or put water on them, and water would get across his whole foot because the shoes were open. Or it means that the Prophet would wash his feet and then put the shoes on. وَيَتَوَدَّأُ فِيهَا فَإِنَّا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَلْبَسَهَا. So verily, I preferred فَأَنَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَلْبَسَهَا. Because I saw the Prophet wearing them, I prefer that I also wear them. Now this highlights some important points. The first was, the reason for Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما to to wear the shoes without hair was solely because it was a sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now look, this has nothing to do with risala, there's no fatwa, but he just noticed this aspect of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it stuck in his head. And so therefore, he inculcated this in his daily life. And in fact, there's a narration in Imam Bukhari's book where the same companion, or the same narrator asks Ibn Umar, that I see you, this is what he says, he says, I see you doing some things that other people don't do. And one of these was shoes without hair. And then Ibn Umar explained that it's because I saw the Prophet ﷺ doing it. So this is his concept of ittiba. I mean, you have one companion seeing that the Prophet's shirt wasn't buttoned on one occasion, so he never buttons his shirt again. You have another companion looking at the shoe of the Prophet and realizing that there's no hair on them, so then he permanently wears shoes without hair. This is just an aspect or a reflection of their deep love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An Abi Huraira qad. An Abi Huraira radiyallahu an qad. كان من نعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كبالان. That the shoes of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they had two straps. So we've already covered this. عن عمر بن حريف يقول رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي في نعلين مخصوفتين. That I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم praying in shoes which had a double sole. Now, it's possible that these shoes had a double sole in the sense that it was actually patched, so that a patch looked like a second sole, or because there were actually two soles on this particular sock. Which time do we have? What time do we have to end? 5:15? Okay. An Abi Huraira radiyallahu an, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, la yamshiyan ahadukum في نعل واحد لينعلهما جميعا أو يخفيهما جميعا. This is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ is commanding us to not wear, no one should wear a single shoe. Meaning you shouldn't put on a single shoe and then walk around. You should either wear both of them or keep both of them off. And in this particular narration, it sounds kind of strange, but perhaps it was a habit of people at that time to wear one shoe. And this is something that's prohibited by the Prophet. And this doesn't only apply to shoes, but it also applies to socks and shirts, etc. So you shouldn't wear one sock, and you shouldn't wear one sleeve of your shirt. And so this is a sunnah which, you know, although today may not seem like a big deal, but it's not ba'id to think, it's not far or difficult to think that perhaps 50 years from now some fashion may arise where people wear one shoe different than another shoe or something like that. You know, it's happened in the past. I mean, there were famous, when I was young, there were famous stars that used to wear one glove or something like that. And then all the kids come to school with one glove the next day. And it's against the sunnah, you know, the Prophet ﷺ is saying not to do it. So, you know, these things come up and so they apply to all of time. An Jabir رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى أن يأكل يعني الرجل بشماله أو يمشي في نعل واحدة. So this is another hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ is prohibiting something. In fact, two things are prohibited. The first is eating with the left hand, and the second is wearing a single shoe. Now both of these are makruh. And we'll talk about eating when we get to the chapter on eating. And we've already talked about wearing a single shoe. An Abi Huraira radiyallahu an, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, idhan ta'ala ahadukum falyabda'u bil-yameen. When any of you begin to put your shoes on, you should do so by putting on the right one first. Wa idha naza'a فَلْيَبْدَأُ Actually, فَلْيَبْدَأُ with a sukun. فَلْيَبْدَأُ بِالشِّمَالِ When he takes something off, he should take the left off first. فَلْتَكُنِ الْيُمْنَى أَوَّلُهُمَا تُنْعَلُ وَآخِرُهُمَا تُنْزَعُ So So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that when somebody puts on a shoe, that they should begin with the right. And when they remove the shoe, that they should begin with the left. And that the left should be, the right should be the first that's put on, and the left should be the first that's taken off. So this applies not only to shoes, but it applies to any ornamentation of the body. So when you eat, of course, it's sunnah to use the right hand, but when you put the shoe on, you should put the right one on, and put the right one on first, and take the left one off first. When you put your socks on, you should put the right one on first, and then put the left one on. And when you remove your socks, you should remove the left one, and then the right one. When you put your sleeves in your shirt, you should put the right one in first, and then the left one. And when you remove them, you should remove the left, and then the right. So all of these are sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aisha, related by Aisha, radiallahu anha, qalat, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yuhibbu tayammun, mastata'a. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love the right hand. He used to give massive preference to the right side in his clothing, in his eating, when he did wudu, etc. As much as possible. So this highlights this thing that mustata shows that this is not wajib, this is just a sunnah. So if you don't happen to put your right shoe on first, it's not wajib, it's just a sunnah. It's something that you want to do to be conscientious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every moment of your day. في ترجله وتنقله وطهوره, that he used to give preference in these three things, in combing and in wearing his shoes and in his wudu, in his tahara. And again, it doesn't apply to only these three things restrictively, but it can apply to any act that you do. عن أبي هريرة قال كان لنقل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كبالان وأبي بكر وعمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما. The Prophet ﷺ had two straps for his shoe. Wa Abi Bakr. And Abu Bakr also had two straps. Wa Umar. And Umar also had two straps. Wa awwalu man aqada aqdan wahidan Uthman radiallahu an. And the first person who instituted a single strap on their shoe was Uthman radiallahu an. And the ulama say that the reason Uthman did this was to show that it wasn't wajib, but that it was a sunnah. Meaning he made the habit of wearing one strap to show that this was actually a sunnah and it wasn't a wajib or wasn't farad. Because Abu Bakr and Umar both followed exactly on this particular path, so it could become confusing. Is this farad on the ummah or is it wajib? And the answer is it farad on the ummah or is it sunnah? And the answer is that it's just a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.